الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Solar and Lunar Eclipses. The Department of Astronomy of Dawat-e-Islami was established in Shaban 1431 AH, corresponding to the 14th of July 2010. Alhamdulillah, this department has prepared prayer timetables and suhoor and iftar charts for over 3,500 cities worldwide. Furthermore, with the collaboration of Dawat-e-Islami's IT department, a software was developed 20 years ago through which you can now access prayer timings and Qibla directions for thousands of locations across the globe. Scan this QR code to download the app. Supplication of Attar. O Allah, whoever reads or listens to the booklet, Solar and Lunar Eclipses, grant them the honour of seeing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam in their dream, forgive them without accountability, and make them a neighbour of your beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam in Jannatul Firdaus. Ameen. Bi jahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Presenting salam daily in the court of the Prophet. The fourth caliph of Islam, Sayyiduna Ali bin Abi Talib radiyallahu anhu, said, every day at the time of suhoor, I would present myself in the court of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam and say, assalamu alayka ya nabiy Allah, sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. Solar eclipse during the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. It is narrated from the companion of the Prophet, Sayyiduna Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, that a solar eclipse occurred during the lifetime of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam on a day of intense heat. And then he prayed. During the prayer, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam moved slightly forward and then slightly backward. After completing the prayer, the noble companions radiyallahu anhum said, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, we saw you reaching out as if to take something, and then we saw you step back. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, who informs us of the unseen by the bestowal of Allah, said, paradise was shown to me, and I began to pluck a cluster of fruit from it. Had I plucked it, you would have eaten from it until the end of the world. Then hell was presented before me, and I stepped back out of fear that it might harm you. I saw a tall, dark woman being punished in it because of a cat. She had confined the cat without feeding it, or giving it water, or setting it free to eat the insects of the earth. I also saw Abu Thumama Amr ibn Luhay in hell, dragging his intestines. People say that the sun and moon are eclipsed due to the death of a great person. In reality, the sun and the moon are amongst the signs of Allah which are shown to you. So when you see them eclipsed, offer salah until the eclipse is over. Ingratitude towards the husband. In another narration, these words are also mentioned. The beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, who gives news of the unseen by the bestowal of Allah, stated, I have never seen a more terrifying sight than today, and I saw that the majority of the dwellers of hell are women. It was asked, why, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam? He replied, because of their ungratefulness. It was asked, are they ungrateful to Allah? He answered, they are ungrateful to their husbands and do not acknowledge their kindness. If you were to treat one of them with kindness for a lifetime, and then she sees a single thing contrary to her temperament, she would say, I have never seen any good from you. When did this eclipse occur? The successor of the Grand Mufti, the commentator of Bukhari, Allama Sharif al-Haq Amjadi rahmatullahi alayhi, writes, this eclipse occurred on the day that the son of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, Sayyiduna Ibrahim radiyallahu anhu, passed away. The sovereignty of the master of both worlds. In the commentary of the hadith about plucking the cluster from paradise, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan rahmatullahi alayhi states, two matters are understood from this hadith. First, that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is the owner of paradise and its fruits and blessings, as Allah did not forbid him from plucking the cluster. Rather, he himself refrained. Why should it not be so when the generous Lord states, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar, we have certainly granted you countless virtues. This is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam repeatedly gave the companions radiyallahu anhum water from Kawthar to drink. Second, Allah has given the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam such power that while standing in Medina, he could extend his hand into paradise and exercise authority there. The one whose hand can reach paradise from Medina, can his hand not also reach to aid sinners like us? If one says that paradise itself had come near, then paradise and its bounties became present everywhere. In any case, from this hadith, one must either accept the presence of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam or that of paradise. The one who troubled the pilgrims. In the aforementioned narration, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam saw a woman being punished for her cruelty to a cat, and a man named Amr ibn Luhay, who was from the era of ignorance. He carried a stick with a hooked end, by which he would steal the belongings of pilgrims. If a pilgrim noticed, he would say, your belonging got caught on the hook of my stick. But if the pilgrim did not realize, he would take the item. He was called Sahib al-Mihjan, a possessor of the staff. Also remember that harming or hitting animals in oppression is impermissible, a sin and an act that leads to hell. Parents should explain this to their children who needlessly trouble ants, flies, dogs, cats, etc., and take pleasure in their cries or suffering. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad. The entire universe is for you, and you are for Allah. There are signs for the wise in the contemplation of Allah's creation. Allah states in the luminous book, the Holy Quran, revealed upon the final Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, in verse 190 of Surah Ali Imran, part 4. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Inna fi khalqis samawati wal ardi wahtilafil layli wan nahari laayatin liulil albab. Indeed, in the creation of the heavens and the earth and the alternation of night and day, there are signs for the people of wisdom. The Sufis rahimahumullah state that a moment of contemplation is superior to 1,000 years of dhikr performed without reflection. Ay fikr. It is stated in Surah Ar-Rahman. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Ash-shamsu wal-qamaru bi-husban. The sun and the moon have specific orbits. In this verse, Allah has mentioned two celestial blessings that are visible to the eye, the sun and the moon. The significance of these blessings can be understood by the fact that if there was no sun, darkness would never end. And if there were no moon, many apparent blessings would cease to exist. Their greatest benefit is that the sun and the moon move in their respective constellations and stations with a designated measure. If the sun were to remain stationary instead of moving, no one could benefit from it. And if its rotation were unknown to people, they could not manage their affairs properly. Another benefit is that the calculation of years and months is based on the speed of their movements. The sun, moon, and stars are blessings and great creations of Allah, and He has placed countless benefits in them for us. According to astronomical reports, the second lunar eclipse of 2025, which will also be visible in Pakistan, will begin on the 7th of September at 9:27 p.m. Pakistan Standard Time. The lunar eclipse will reach its peak at 11:12 p.m. and the eclipse will end at 12:57 a.m. The second solar eclipse of the same year will begin on the 21st of September at 10:30 p.m. Pakistan Standard Time. It will reach its peak at 12:42 a.m. and the solar eclipse will end at 2:54 a.m. But this solar eclipse will not be visible in Pakistan. What are solar and lunar eclipses? What misconceptions are prevalent amongst the public regarding them? What is the reality of solar and lunar eclipses? What does our beloved religion Islam state about them? People around the world enjoy such occasions in various ways. But what did our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam do on such occasions? Listen to this booklet, Solar and Lunar Eclipses, which contains interesting and important information, and inshallah your knowledge will increase. Lunar and solar eclipses occur in different months and days of the year. Usually there are two solar and two lunar eclipses annually. Distribute this booklet on these days, especially for the conveyance of reward, i.e. ithali thawab, to your deceased relatives, and earn abundant rewards. May Allah grant us acceptance. Ameen. بجاهي خاتم النبيين صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. The signs of punishment are a warning. The creed of Muslims is that Allah alone does whatever He wills, but He also creates the means for punishment and the means for mercy. He warns His servants with the means of punishment so that they may repent and turn to Allah in humble supplication. For instance, solar and lunar eclipses are two of the signs of Allah with which He warns His servants, testing those who repent. From this, it is understood that solar and lunar eclipses are events that inspire the fear of punishment. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam instructed the mother of the believers, Sayyidatuna Aisha Siddiqa radiyallahu anha, to seek refuge in Allah from the evil of the moon, stating, "It is the darkness when it sets. Allah has commanded us to seek refuge from the evil of the darkness when it sets. This refers to the night when it becomes dark, when the devils amongst humans and jinn spread out. The command to seek refuge from the moon is because it is a sign of the night, and it indicates that the terrifying evil of the night is not dispelled by the arrival of the moon, nor does it become like the day. Rather, one should seek refuge in Allah even on a moonlit night. Interesting information about solar eclipses. Astronomers explain that a solar eclipse occurs when the moon comes between the sun and the earth. This can only happen on the 28th or 29th of the lunar month. It is impossible on other dates. Therefore, a solar eclipse cannot occur on the 10th, 4th or 14th of the lunar month. The commentator of Bukhari, Allama Sharif al-Haq Amjadi Rahmatullahi Alayhi, states, according to common custom, this is correct. However, Allah is capable of causing a solar eclipse to occur contrary to the common custom. In fact, it is my speculation that the assumption people made about this particular eclipse on the 10th of the month instead of the 28th or 29th occurred due to the passing of Sayyiduna Ibrahim radiyallahu anhu. There was no conventional cause for an eclipse to occur on the 10th, which is why people made that assumption. The sun, moon and stars. Dear Islamic brothers, the sun is a blessing from Allah. It provides light and in winter it gives warmth. The sun's heat helps crops ripen, providing food for humans. The moon is also a blessing from Allah. The sun is many times larger than the earth. In diameter, the sun is 109 times larger than the earth, whereas the moon is 14 times smaller than the earth. The sun is on average 150 million kilometers away from the earth, whilst the moon is 400,000 kilometers away. The sun's light is hot and the moon's light is cool. During the day, we benefit from the sun's light, and at night we rely on the moon's light. Before the current era of modern technology, people used the moons and stars to navigate and travel at night, bound by command. In accordance with the duty assigned by Allah, the sun, moon and stars revolve in their own orbits, i.e. they move within their limits, and never deviate from his command in the slightest. As it is stated in the Holy Quran, Part 8, Surah Al-A'raf, Verse 54. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. يغشي الليل النهار يطلبه حثيثا والشمس والقمر والقمر والنجوم مسخرات بأمره ألا له الخلق والأمر تبارك الله رب العالمين. He merges the night and day so that one follows the other swiftly, and the sun and moon and stars are subservient to his command. Pay heed, to create and to command all matters is for him alone. Allah is the possessor of infinite blessings, the Lord of all the worlds. It is also stated, وَسَخَّرَ الشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرَ كُلٌّ يَجْرِي لِأَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى يُدَبِّرُ الْأَمْرَ يُفَصِّلُ الْآيَاتِ لَعَلَّكُمْ بِلِقَاءِ رَبِّكُمْ تُوقِنُونَ. And he made the sun and moon compliant. Each will orbit for a specified term. Allah decides the matter. He states his signs in detail so that you may be certain of meeting your Lord. It is stated in Tafsir Siratul Jinan, Allah has put the sun and moon to work to provide for the benefits and needs of his servants, and they move according to his command. Each of the sun and the moon will continue to travel until an appointed term, i.e. the end of the world. Sayyiduna Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma stated that by a specified term, ajalim musamma, the degrees and stations of the sun and moon are meant, i.e. they orbit within their stations and degrees to a certain limit and cannot transgress it. The reality of this is that Allah has prescribed a specific orbit for them both in a particular direction, with a particular speed and slowness, maintaining a set course. The moon and sun are floating. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. وهو الذي خلق الليل والنهار والشمس والقمر كل في فلك يسبحون. And it is he who created the night and the day and the sun and the moon. All are moving in orbit. They all move in an orbit just as a swimmer moves through water. The sun is a servant, the moon a subordinate. Our master Muhammad al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, by the bestowal of Allah, is the master and authority in both worlds, and the moon and sun are obedient to him. The Imam of Ahlus Sunnah, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahmatullahi alayhi, expresses this in his devotional poetry. Teri marzi pa gaya suraj phira ulte qadam, teri ungli uth gayi mah ka kaleja chir gaya. Commentary: when my master sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam at the station of Sahba saw Sayyiduna Ali radiyallahu anhu saddened at sunset because he had missed the Asr prayer due to being in the service of the Prophet, by the bestowal of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, the Prophet commanded the sun and it immediately returned. Later, when the disbelievers of Makkah demanded the miracle of splitting the moon, upon receiving a gesture from the master of the sun and the moon sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, the moon split into two pieces. The Imam also states rahmatullahi alayhi, chand ishare ka hila hukam ka banda suraj, wah kya baat shaha teri tawanai ki. The leader of Ahlus Sunnah, Damat Barakatul Aliya, perhaps taking inspiration from the poetry of the Imam, writes, chand do tukre hua sadke gaya, jab ishara Mustafa ka pa gaya, pa ke marzi sarvare konain ki, duba suraj phir palat kar a gaya. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. Saying amma ba'd in the sermon, the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, Sayyiduna Samura bin Jundub radiyallahu anhu states, the beloved of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam delivered a sermon at the time of a solar eclipse in which he said amma ba'd, the reason for lunar and solar eclipses. This depends on the orbits of the moon and the sun. By their nature, the earth and the moon are dark, drawing light from the sun. Usually, twice a year, the sun and the moon align with the earth on the same side in such a way that the moon becomes an obstruction and prevents the sun's light from reaching some parts of the earth. As a result, the sun appears partially or totally dark to the people on earth. This is called a solar eclipse. Similarly, usually twice a year, the sun is on one side of the earth and the moon is on the other, aligned in such a way that the earth becomes an obstruction and prevents the sun's light from reaching the moon, either partially or totally. As a result, the moon appears partially or totally dark to the people on earth. This is called a lunar eclipse. Total solar eclipse. A total solar eclipse occurs when the moon's distance from the earth is so minimal that when it comes in front of the sun is completely hidden behind the moon. Due to the complete occultation of the sun, a degree of darkness occurs and stars begin to appear during the daytime. It is said that this can happen at a single location for a maximum of 7 minutes and 40 seconds, but its duration is generally much shorter. Lunar eclipse. When the moon is on one side of the earth and the sun is on the other, which usually occurs on the 14th night, i.e. a full moon. The earth's shadow sometimes falls partially or totally on the moon, causing it to appear dark. This is called a lunar eclipse. A lunar eclipse can be either partial or total. There are two types of partial eclipses. The first involves the deep shadow, umbral, and the second involves the light shadow, penumbral. The umbral lunar eclipse is visible, whereas penumbral lunar eclipse is not. From a Shari perspective, the eclipse prayer, i.e. Salah, is only performed for the umbral eclipse. Incorrect customs and traditions. Various beliefs and theories exist amongst people regarding solar and lunar eclipses. Some religions consider them inauspicious, whilst others see them as a sign of Allah's displeasure. One belief holds that the sun and moon were originally humans who took a loan from sweepers and cobblers, bungees and jammars, and did not repay it. The eclipse is their punishment. Consequently, during an eclipse, some Hindus give charity to sweepers and the beggars say, repay the debt of Suraj Maharaj, i.e. the sun king. In some places, it is thought that an eclipse occurs when monsters and fearsome animals swallow the sun. According to a website regarding historical accounts from ancient China, whenever a lunar eclipse occurred, the ancient people would gather and shout with all their might. They believed a giant dragon was eating the moon, and their noise was a successful attempt to save it. The eclipse would end at its appointed time, but they would celebrate what they considered their success and make even more noise the next time. Another incorrect belief is that during a solar or lunar eclipse, the ropes or chains around the necks of pregnant cows, buffaloes, goats, and other animals should be untied to protect them from harm. In some regions, people with weak faith lock themselves in rooms during an eclipse so they can, as they believe, protect themselves from the harmful waves emitted at that time. In many societies, people avoid cooking on the day of an eclipse because they believe dangerous germs are produced during that time. In several Eastern countries, astrologers make predictions associated with a solar eclipse, forecasting disaster or loss. For example, they predict an increase in theft, kidnapping, murder, suicides and violence, especially female mortality, lawlessness and injustice. In short, people around the world have many misconceptions about solar and lunar eclipses. However, an eclipse does not occur due to anyone's death or life. In Arab society, it was a common belief that solar and lunar eclipses coincided with major events, such as someone's death or birth. When the revolutionary call of Islam spread across the world, the beloved Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam eradicated their superstitions. On the day that the son of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, Sayyidina Ibrahim radiyallahu anhu, passed away, a solar eclipse occurred. Some people thought it happened out of grief for Sayyidina Ibrahim radiyallahu anhu. Therefore, after leading the people in the solar eclipse prayer, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam delivered a sermon stating, "The sun and the moon are two of the signs of Allah. They do not eclipse because of the death or life of anyone. So when you see them, call upon Allah, declare His greatness, offer prayer, and give charity." What does Islam state regarding eclipses? Islam is free from such absurdities. According to Islam, these are signs of Allah's power. Allah can make the sun and moon luminous whenever He wills, and He can take away their light whenever He wills. He is capable of diminishing the moon's light whenever He wills, even without the earth coming between the sun and the moon, which is the natural cause of a lunar eclipse. Solar eclipse and the pregnant woman. An educated woman living in a Western country was extremely worried a few days before a solar eclipse because she was expecting her first child. The fear that the eclipse might affect her baby caused her great anxiety. She called her doctor to ask if an early delivery was possible to protect the baby from the eclipse's effects. The doctor reassured her, explaining that there is no need to worry and the notion of the eclipse's effects is a superstition. During an eclipse, pregnant women are advised to stay inside a room and avoid cutting vegetables, etc., to ensure their children are born without any birth defects. Pregnant women are also advised to refrain from sewing and embroidery during an eclipse, as it is believed this could negatively affect the baby's body. Let us find out, in light of a question posed to the leader of Ahlus Sunnah, whether a solar eclipse truly has any effect on a pregnant woman or not. Question: does a solar or lunar eclipse have any effect on a pregnant woman or her child? Answer: it is a common superstition that if a woman uses scissors during a lunar eclipse, the child's lips will be cut or some other mishap will occur. Remember, the Sharia does not endorse such beliefs. Occasionally, by coincidence, a child with a cleft lip may be born, and people claim it is due to the mother using scissors during a lunar eclipse. But this has no basis in Sharia. What should be done during an eclipse? In light of the Quran and Hadith, it is clear that solar and lunar eclipses are not occasions for amusement or celebration. Some people gather to watch a solar eclipse using special glasses, yet doctors say that looking directly at the sun during an eclipse can cause loss of sight. Instead of spending such an occasion in sin and heedlessness, we should turn to the remembrance of Allah, sincerely repent from our sins, and make a firm intention to follow the path of the Sunnah. Remember the Day of Judgment, when the trumpet will be blown and the sun, moon and stars will lose their light. One should offer the prayer for the eclipse. The solar eclipse prayer is called Salat al-Kusuf. And the lunar eclipse prayer is called Salat al-Khusuf. The meaning of Khusuf is a change of state, and Khasaf means to sink. Because the sun or moon appears to sink during these events. The jurists refer to a solar eclipse as Khusuf and a lunar eclipse as Khusuf. But the use of one term for the other is also found in the noble hadith. Supplicate and seek forgiveness. It is narrated from the companion of the Prophet, Sayyiduna Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiyallahu anhu, that a solar eclipse occurred during the blessed era of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam came to the masjid and performed the prayer with a long standing, ay qiyam, bowing, ruku, and prostration, ay sujood, that I never witnessed before. He then stated, Allah does not show these signs because of anyone's death or life, but He warns His servants with them. So when you see them, turn to the remembrance of Allah, supplication and seeking forgiveness. In another noble hadith, the companion Sayyiduna Samura bin Jundub radiyallahu anhu states, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam led the eclipse prayer. He led the eclipse prayers more than once. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam led the eclipse prayer multiple times in Medina, as indicated by various narrations. Furthermore, he also offered the eclipse prayer once in Mecca under the canopy of the well of Zamzam. Sayyiduna Abdul Rahman bin Samura radiyallahu anhu states, during the lifetime of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, I was practicing archery in Medina when a solar eclipse occurred. I threw down the arrows and thought, by Allah, I will see what happens to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam during a solar eclipse. When I arrived, he was standing in prayer with his hands raised, glorifying Allah, ayy tasbih, declaring God's oneness, ayy tahleel, declaring His greatness, takbir, and praising Him, ayy hamd. He supplicated until the eclipse ended. After that, he recited two surahs and offered two units of prayer. Sayyiduna Abdul Rahman bin Samura radiyallahu anhu found the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam in the state of prayer. He performed the first rak'ah during the eclipse and the second rak'ah after the eclipse had cleared. Commentary of the hadith. Regarding the part of the hadith, I will see what happens to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam during a solar eclipse. Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi rahmatullahi alayhi writes, meaning, what is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam doing at this time, so that I may also perform that action and convey it to others. In summary, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam extended the eclipse prayer with prolonged tasbih, tahleel, etc., followed by recitation of Surah Al-Fatiha, bowing, prostration, and concluding with salam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. A time to perform pious deeds abundantly. Sayyidatuna Asma radiyallahu anha, the daughter of the first caliph of Islam, Sayyiduna Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, and the sister of the mother of all Muslims, Sayyidatuna Aisha as-Siddiqa radiyallahu anha, narrates, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam commanded the freeing of slaves during a solar eclipse. This is because punishment is averted through manumission and all forms of charity. Imam Badruddin Al-Aini rahmatullahi alayhi writes in the commentary of this hadith, it is recommended, i.e. mustahab, to free slaves during a solar eclipse. And the reason for this is to encourage people towards acts of goodness. Imam Ibn Battal rahmatullahi alayhi states, indeed, Allah warns His servants through His signs so that they may draw closer to Him by performing pious deeds, just as encouragement has been given on this occasion for prayer, freeing slaves and giving charity. Juridical rulings. Some religious rulings regarding solar and lunar eclipses from the fourth volume of Bukhari Shariat. Number one, the solar eclipse prayer is an emphasized sunnah, i.e. sunnah mu'akkada, whilst the lunar eclipse prayer is recommended, i.e. mustahab. It is recommended to offer the solar eclipse prayer in a congregation, though it can also be performed individually. If prayed in a congregation, all the conditions for the Friday, i.e. Jumu'ah prayer, except for the sermon, apply. Only a person qualified to lead the Jumu'ah prayer can lead its congregation. If such a person is unavailable, then it should be offered individually, either at home or in the masjid. Number two, the eclipse prayer should only be offered whilst the sun is eclipsed, not after the eclipse has ended. If the eclipse has started to recede but is still ongoing, the prayer can be initiated at that time. If clouds cover the sun during the eclipse, the prayer should still be offered. Number three, if the eclipse occurs at a time when prayer is prohibited, one should not pray but remain engaged in supplication instead. If the sun sets while still in a state of eclipse, the supplication should be concluded and the Maghrib prayer should be offered. The reviver of Islam, the Imam of Ahlus Sunnah, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahmatullahi alayhi states, if the solar eclipse occurs after the Asr prayer or at midday, i.e. Nisf al-Nahar, people should supplicate and not offer the prayer because it is disliked, i.e. makruh, to perform optional prayers at these two times. Number four, this prayer is offered as two units, similar to other optional prayers, with one bowing, i.e. ruku, and two prostrations, i.e. sujood, in each unit. There is no azan or iqama for it, and the recitation is done silently. After the prayer, one should remain in supplication until the eclipse ends. It is also permissible to pray more than two units, performing salam after every two units or after four. Number five, if people have not gathered, they should be called with the words, As-salatu jami'atun, the prayer is being gathered. Number six, it is preferable to establish the congregation in an idgah or a central masjid, i.e. a jami' masjid, but there is no issue if it is held elsewhere. Number seven, if remembered, long surahs such as Surah Al-Baqarah and Ali Imran should be recited, and the bowing and prostrations should be prolonged. After the prayer, remain engaged in supplication until the eclipse ends. It is also permissible to perform the prayer normally without prolonging, whilst making a long supplication. The Imam may supplicate facing the Qibla or standing to face the congregation, with the latter being better, and all the followers should say Ameen. If the Imam leans on a staff or bow while supplicating, this is also good. He should not ascend the pulpit for the supplication. Number 8. If a solar eclipse and a funeral prayer coincide, The funeral prayer should be offered first. Number 9. There is no congregation for the lunar eclipse prayer. It should be offered individually, whether an imam is present or not. However, two or three men besides the imam may form a congregation. The leader of Ahlus Sunnah led the congregation for the solar eclipse. During a Madani Muzakara, the occurrence of a solar eclipse was mentioned a few times in the presence of the leader of Ahlus Sunnah. On one occasion, he remarked, "How fortunate, let us establish a congregation at the Madani Markaz, Fizan-e Madina. The Islamic brothers from the surrounding areas will come. Moreover, we have a considerable number of students and teachers, so a congregation can be held. It was a long time ago, but I recall that during the days I used to lead prayers as the Imam at Noor Masjid, I established the congregation for the solar eclipse prayer. I have not heard of this in other masjids, and it is not a common practice. The mosque committees and respected imams who are listening to me should arrange for the solar eclipse prayer in congregation. It is not necessary to have 1,000 people for a congregation to be valid. Even if there are 10 or 20, you should still hold the congregation. Acceptance is dependent upon sincerity, not on the number of people being few or many. Therefore, please be kind enough to arrange the congregation as a congregation is preferable. You may also consult with the respected scholars if you wish. To hold this congregation, you will need to announce the time. You may even narrate the rulings and traditions of the solar eclipse before the congregation. People will gather during this time. Then you can lead the prayer and supplicate in the court of Allah. This will be truly beneficial as it is an act of virtue and worship. Those outside of Pakistan should also make arrangements in their respective countries according to local times and establish the solar eclipse congregation in their masjids. Whenever such an occurrence is known, this procedure should be followed every time. May Allah grant us the ability to do so. Ameen. Bi jahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, the work on this booklet was completed on the 18th of Safar al-Muzaffar 1445 AH. May Allah accept it in His court and make it a means of attaining His eternal pleasure. Ameen. Bi jahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.